Friends, this morning I want to speak a little on the subject of the Christian's depression, I've called it. The Christian's depression. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He experienced many, many trials, even to the point of death, and He experienced them knowing that He would experience such things. And yet what we find again and again in the words of the Scripture, they glorified His Father. He continued steadfast to finish His course for us. He had His mission. He had His people upon His heart. And He gave His life for them. He filled the hearts of men who would ridicule Him and men who would see His grief. He filled their hearts, and He continues to do so, with joy and peace. And He does that to this day. And this morning, I want us to think about this servant of God, who also was a follower of the Lord. And yet he experienced something that brought him so low that he wished he would die. And I want us to think about the words that are found in verse 4, where we read Elijah saying this to the Lord, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." This is definitely a case of sad depression, Elijah's depression. In James, he tells us in chapter 5 and verse 17 of Elijah that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he had a nature like our own. He wasn't a superhuman being. No, he was just like us, natural human nature. And therefore, if it can happen to him, these sad times can happen to him, and these sad thoughts can come into his heart. And then for it to be mixed with his prayers, then of course it can happen to any of God's children. He never expected this to happen to him, but it did. It took him by surprise, as it were, of his own actions, by his own way of thinking. And friends, it is important for us to think about what the Scripture says about our times, our down times, sad times. And what is real depression? We hear much about mental illness and that a person has depression. And we ought to, as Christians who believe in the Bible, we ought not to let the world's view be dictated to us and for us to take those things. When people say that this thing is a mental illness, oftentimes a label is given to that individual, and oftentimes it seems as if because this person has this condition, then there is no way out of it. They can't be helped other than maybe medication and various things to just dull the mind from the issues. But what does God say in this passage? How did the Lord deal with His servant who was cast so low? In a non-technical term, if we were to think about depression, what does depression mean? Well, in a non-technical sense, it is the thoughts that, well, I'm feeling blue, I'm feeling down, I'm so sad, things are really getting on top of me. And from time to time, all of us get through such times. There is nobody in this world who never has sad thoughts and difficult days, feeling very bad about the circumstances. The Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, he said, "We are troubled on every side." So he felt the trouble on every side, every direction, all around him. There was trouble, yet not distressed, he said. "We are perplexed. We are confused. We do not know what to do about certain things, but not in despair," he said. Feeling down is not in itself depression. Depression in its true form is to allow those feelings, to act wrongly upon those feelings, and to stop functioning in our daily responsibilities and interests. When we stop doing the things that God has called us to do, because we are giving way to our feelings and circumstances. And think about it, my friends, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about all the trials that He suffered, all the pains that He experienced, the sad times. He was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet did He allow all of these things to take Him off from the course? He always did that which pleased His Father, the Scripture says. No one spake like this man, even on his cross. Even on his cross, people could see, here was a man sent from God. Here was the Son of God. Depression is not simply when we are down, but also when we are out. It's the result of handling down periods in a wrong way. And that is something we find here in Elijah. And we want to think about what God did, how the Lord helped His servant, and what we can learn from this. The first thing that I want us to notice is God's children in depression, what they experience and what they do. And one of the things we notice in this passage is His actions. In that state of mind, we see His actions. He says here, in verse 4, "But He Himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and He requested for Himself that He might die, and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's.'" What we must remember at the beginning is that human nature is a unity of soul and body. And it is clear from the context that Elijah was an exhausted man. We don't read that he was eating. We don't read that he was sleeping. And he was filled, his life, it seemed, was filled with this trouble. There was one who was after him to kill him. Jezebel had sent this horrible message that she's going to kill him by the day after. He's going to die. And so he sensed all of these things. And sometimes the believer, the children of God, are so lifted up by the Spirit in spiritual activity. As Elijah had been in a previous chapter, he had proved the Lord's faithfulness. He had been faithful, standing against all the enemies of God, and the Lord had given him mighty victory. And sometimes we have these very high point by the Spirit of God, and in God's labors and spiritual activity, that we forget about these things. We forget about our personal needs, that we have a body. And when the body goes down, the mind may fight to stay up, but it cannot fight against what we call the gravity within the human nature. If we are going down physically, it can affect us emotionally, and so we ought to be mindful of this, the actions of this man, and think about what he did. He seemed to be losing control of his situation. He was losing control of thinking correctly. His perceptions were not right at this point. It seems that Elijah was disappointed. The threat of Jezebel was there, and he acted as all of these things acted as a trigger upon his already internal state of exhaustion. It seems that he was an exhausted man. And so the Lord, the first thing he does, the Lord gives him, he says, to eat and to drink, and he had rest. And that is something to take note of. He had fled for his life. What a stress that would have been on him physically. And when a person gets so low, they are no longer perceiving things in a rational, accustomed manner. And we read in verse 3, and when he saw Jezebel's threat to himself, he arose and went for his life. That is not something that we find in the life of the perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ. He saw everything from the beginning. He knew what would happen to him. But here we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he did what he knew would happen. And he went ahead doing the Lord's will. But here was a man like passions as we are, Elijah. And we can relate to him. We can see how he dealt with things. He arose, it says, and he went for his life. He went for his life. And this was irrational. He wasn't thinking correctly. And how often it is that we don't think correctly because of the things that are happening to us. He had already, if you were to read the previous chapter, he had already stood against greater odds than a woman, and he had withstood against many threats. They had tried to hunt him down for many years, and he stood before them all because he was conscious of standing in the presence of God. He knew that God was with him, and he was standing with the Lord. And so you think how irrational he's thinking of his threat. If God had protected him all these years, why should he suddenly turn and run away now? But we find him doing that very thing. He did that. He ran away. Probably as soon as he did, he wondered what he had done. But here was this man running away when he had experienced good things from the hand of God before. Think, my friends, in those situations that you feel all the pressures around you, you think of how Christ has upheld you all through your life, how he has guided you, led you in the darkest times, is provided for you. When you have come to your river of Jordan, he made it to open up, and he brought you through so many situations. You think of that? Don't forget this, friends. But we have to as well remember of the devices of Satan. Satan attacks, as we thought some time ago, not only us at our weakest point, but he will sometimes attack us at our strongest point. He will sometimes wait for overconfidence, or he will sometimes wait until the person reaches a state of exhaustion like Elijah, and then he will attack at the strongest point. And Elijah's strongest point was his faithfulness. He took a stand, and now he flees for his life. A great change had occurred in him. He was exhausted, and yet looked. You have to look at the activity, what he does, how he goes. And a person who is very much cast down and depressed, although they are in the sense exhausted in their body, they can be very restless. They look for rest, but they cannot find it. Sleeping flees away, or they may have little sleep and wake up very early in the morning and thinking about various things, restless, and wanting these things to go away. Or running away from situations, running away from responsibilities. That's what happens. Yet, this threat on his life was perceived irrationally, because God had shown him that he would help him against greater numbers than Jezebel and her threat. So we find him running away. And he feels these things, his feelings, as well as his actions, we have to consider. He was disappointed. Here was a man who was disappointed. All these people on Mount Carmel, we find in the previous chapter, before all of these people, he said, "The Lord, He is the God." And yet we find here a man who is disappointed in so many things in himself. He says, "It is enough." Here are words of a man who is so low, and he feels so low. "It is enough." And he says in verse 10 of chapter 19, I only. He felt he was alone, on his own. It hadn't mattered much to him until this point. He had been alone for so long. He had experienced loneliness for so long. But the Lord was with him. He knew and he sensed the Lord's presence with him. But this situation had got to him. And so he felt alone, exhausted. I am left. And so he arose, we read in verse 3, he arose and went for his life. Disappointed, frustrated, exhausted. Could he be disappointed in himself? Maybe. And we may find these things quite relevant to us. We may find ourselves in very similar situations, finding it difficult to cope with ourselves, with other people. And that is why we read that he left his servant there and went on by himself. Why didn't he take his servant with him? Why did he leave that servant? He just wanted to be alone. He didn't want to socialize with somebody. He didn't want to talk with anybody. The servant would have served him still. But he did not want that. And in a sense, that is the worst thing we can do. Cutting ourselves off from the things of God. Cutting ourselves off from God's people. And those who would help us and serve us and minister to our needs. And worse than that, cutting ourselves away from the Lord. Not speaking to Him. Not praying to Him. Oh, my friends, if you are a child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ will always be with you. If you feel it or not feel it, He's there. Near us. The Scripture says He's at our elbow. And He has promised to be with us. He sends us His Spirit within us. And He hears a sigh. He hears all the things that are going on in our hearts. And so what we ought to do is what Elijah did later on, telling the Lord all these matters, speaking to the Lord about all of these matters. So here was a man left by himself, feeling alone. And his thoughts, when a person is very much cast down, depressed, their desires, their perceptions are not rational. They don't think clearly. They do things rashly, quickly. They say things that they regret. How often we have done that, friends? Is this you? They are not in the state to make decisions which are good for themselves or for good for other people. And so that is why it is helpful in those situations to have other people's counsels, godly people's counsels. Not people who are like us, but look to people who are above spiritually, mature in the faith. And so we ought to be like that. Not cutting ourselves away from people. Not thinking we are right. Here was a man who wanted to be alone. Let us learn from this. He thought he could cope by himself. He himself went a day's journey it says. Another day. No food, no sleep. Another day passed by. And it is often the strongest people who get this way, not the weakest. And my mind goes to various servants of God in the history of the church, not just biblical history, but you think about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great man of God, and how he went through seasons, great seasons, of being so low, cast down for a variety of things. He knew so much in his mind, and he had experienced the Lord's goodness. But there are certain dark times for him. But praise God, the Lord brought him out of all of that. The Lord confirmed his goodness to him and his love to him. The strong person himself. You can tell yourself that you have got through this kind of a thing before, and you can go through certain pain barriers, certain pressures and difficulties again. And so we can go through these things, and we forget that we need the Lord. And we can be very, very busy and forget we ought to seek the Lord. We need to pray to Him who is our help, who will support us, who will provide for us, who will make a way when we don't know what to do. So think about this, my friends. We ought to stop immediately. When you see on your dashboard, when you are driving your car, you see a red light appearing and is flashing at you, it would be foolish of you if you carry on. Carry on going. What will happen? The problem will get worse. It will be more expensive. It will be harder to fix. And so it is with our life, spiritually. When these things begin to flash in your life, stop. Stop and seek the face of one who knows you and who has created you. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has known you from the beginning. He was the one who gave you life. And He, if you are a Christian, He's given you your second birth as well by His Spirit. And He has promised to be with you. So look to Him. Don't carry on and say, I can do these things by myself. I just have to spend more time. I have to spend more effort. No. What did He say? Often repeated words, without me, ye can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, can we do anything? No, nothing, He says. Elijah's strength in the past had come from the Lord. He had said previous to this occasion that as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, he had experienced these things. But he needed to be reminded that without the Lord, he cannot do anything. So we have his actions, we have his feelings, we have his thoughts. Here was a man who wanted to die. He said, it is enough. I cannot go on any longer. He cannot do any more. His situation was hopeless. We couldn't see any way out. And we may be filled with all of these negative thoughts. It's only you. No one else has experienced the same thing as you. But what did God do? How did the Lord deal with this, his servant? And it is important for us to think about that too. The psalmist says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why is your heart filled with troubles? Why are you so cast down? Hope thou in God, he says. Hope thou in God. So God's treatment, the second thing I want us to think about, is God's treatment of his children when they are depressed. That's what we want to think about. What does God do? What does God say to us? Well, first of all, the Lord cared for his body. And we should not neglect this. He cared for his body. Some people would find that unexpected. Why did God say to him, he ought to arise and eat? He ought to rest. We do not believe that this was any created angel, this angel that came to him. But we believe that this was the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. We are soul and body, and God cares for the body, and we should care for our bodies too. And there is a kind of people's ideas and spirituality that says that, no, you don't need to care for your body. No, the scripture says that it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be mindful. Yes, we are living in a world that has made body their God. But we ought to realize that as Christians, our bodies as well have been purchased by Jesus Christ. We ought to have respect for it. When Paul said that I keep under my body and bring it into subjection in 1 Corinthians 9, he was talking about temptation, not nourishment. Some people refer to such passages and say, well, we don't have to think too much about our bodies. But there is a relationship between the soul and the body. Certain things that we affect us physically can affect us emotionally and spiritually, and vice versa as well. But here was a man who needed food, needed rest. The scripture says that God giveth his beloved sleep. And we ought to pray for such things. If you are struggling with these things, we ought to bring it all to the Lord and ask him, Lord, I am one of thy beloved. Bless me with sleep. And then Solomon says in his song, he says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. When we sleep, the communion which our soul enjoys with God is not suspended, but the spirit, it does not sleep. We still are joined to the Lord. And sometimes you awake in the morning, and sometimes a verse comes to your mind, a thought of the Lord comes to your mind. Where did that come from? The Lord working in you by His Spirit. But then there was the Word of God. God, He gave him food and nourishment and rest. But the Word of God also was given. And that is something that we all need. Friends, in those times that we are so low, it's the Word of God that heals us. In Psalm 107 and verse 20, we read, He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. Well, that could refer to this Word and how this must be always on our minds, meditating upon it, reading it, and through it we receive comfort through Scriptures. We find something of the mind of God. What is God desires us to do? How does He think about us? We read of His promises and His intentions and His goals for us, which are all good for His people. But also, He gives us through His Word, He gives us His Son, Jesus Christ, who is that living Word, the incarnate Word. Jesus Christ communicates His grace and blessings and wonderful truths to us. And so the Scriptures are so essential. So what we find here in this passage, the Lord begins to talk. He says, arise and eat. And then He goes on asking him questions. The Lord asks this man questions. And the Lord listens. The Lord asks questions and then listens. He does that three times. My friends, we have a God who hears us. We have a Savior who constantly says, pray unto me in my name. Ask of my Father whatsoever you desire, and He will give it to you. Knock, seek, call upon me in the day of trouble. And the Lord is asking him questions. And then there is this experience of amazing things that take place, the fire, the earthquake, and so on, showing his holiness and power to Elijah. And then his voice comes. The still, small voice of God comes to Elijah, speaking to his heart, guiding him. And that is how God works. Do you listen to God's voice? Do you listen to God's word as you read it? Meditate on it? What is the Lord's word for me today? What is God saying to me in my situation? So we ought to, in our circumstances, we ought to search the scriptures. Seek those Christians who will guide us in the scriptures. Help us to see what is the Lord's mind. I don't know. I am not wise. I am not thinking rationally. But the Lord, He only tells me the truth. Jesus Christ cares for my soul, and He always tells me what is right and true. I don't want to follow people's opinions, people's thoughts. I don't want to follow what counselors and therapists would say. I have all these things happening to me. They're all under the sovereign dealings of God. But it's the Lord's word that heals me. It's Jesus Christ who comforts me. Much more, my friends, could be said. But the Lord says to him, go. In verse 20, for example, he says, go. Go back again. God says, it is not good for you to stop those things that I have called you to do. It's not good for you to stop your responsibilities and think selfishly. No, go back again. Go back. I will be with you. Go back. Do not be so discouraged. And do not think that you are alone. The Lord comforts him and he says in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. But we don't have that. We have the whole host of heaven. God says to us, look at the whole history of my people. Look at the whole witness that is there in heaven. The testimony of God's people throughout history. Look at my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there for you. So you are never alone. Go, return to thy way. He says also in verse 15. Go, return to thy way. He then leads him to his people, God's people. He tells him of Elisha. And so the Lord is saying, go and be with my people. Go and be with them who are also going in the same direction, who can encourage you, who can point you in the right way. The Lord says to us in the scriptures, comfort ye, my people. Here is a word of comfort. What is your condition today, my friends? What has been going on in your life? Has this happened to you ever? What Elijah experienced? How have you dealt with it? The sad times of life, how do you deal with it? Let us not fall into this state of refusing to do what the Lord calls us to do, to disobey Him. But let us this morning bow before Him in repentance. Bow before Him in prayer. Bow before Him with a great determination to follow Him, depend on Him and His strength and not our own. We are not like those who have no hope and are without God in this world. It is a sad thing when we think about how would others cope. We have so many hard experiences, but how do those who do not know our Savior, how do they cope? Well, we have a God who is full of power. We read in the scriptures, for those of us who are suffering, not only physically, but spiritually, emotionally, in 1 Peter 4 and verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Where art thou? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? We may ask that, but the psalmist goes on to say, I shall yet praise Him. May we continue to praise Him and serve Him and look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that we need. Amen.